Hello, everyone. Welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin here. And hey, this week, I just wanted to take a moment and share some of my favorite sermons of all time with you. So you guys kick back and enjoy these messages this week. And we'll see you next week with more Turn the Light On topical Bible study. How's everybody doing? Welcome. Good to see everybody. So glad you're here this morning. And nice crowd, lots of faces. Most of you are smiling. That's a good thing. You know, we're just getting warmed up. You know that, right? You never know. Lighthouse Church is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Could be 45 minutes, could be hour and a half. You know, it's like we're going long today. It's all right. You know, it's all right. We're going to give you cake to give you that little bit of energy while you're waiting in line behind the Baptists at Sonny's. But we are going to celebrate with the graduates, so we want to invite everybody to have a piece of cake and celebrate with them after the service. I've been talking about living a blameless life. We tried to get through all 14 pages of my notes last week, and we got through four. So I think we're going to be able to land the plane this week, and if not, we're going to do something different next week either way. But we all started off last week in Proverbs 20. Verse 7, and it says this, the righteous man lives a blameless life. What does that mean? I think it's the righteous man or woman, okay? So, you know, I think the Bible many times says man, and it means all of us. So you can, you know, rest in that. But, you know, I believe that the blameless life is a call to believers who are walking with God. We discussed this last week. It's not a call to the lost people. You know, the lost people are out there, they're partying hard, man. I partied hard when I was lost. I had no desire to live a blameless life before God. I just wanted to live life and catch waves and do drugs and live my life for me. But, you know, once we become a believer, once we give our life to Jesus, we've now been brought into a new directive, and that is to walk blameless before God. So we're going to talk more about that today. You know, we leaned into the idea that, we can misuse grace in our lives last week. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. No show of hands, please. We can misuse grace in our life, but we learned that grace is actually not something, it's someone. And who is grace? Jesus. That's right. So we don't want to take Jesus for granted and all that he's done for us in our lives. So we looked at a lot of the characteristics of a blameless person last week. One is that we practice praise in our life, which is what we just did as a church here a moment ago. We practice praise. And then, we learned so much. Look at it. It's just so amazing. But we learned that blameless people live with integrity at home, not just when people are watching, but when God is watching, because guess what? He's always watching. Right? We've come to that conclusion. We turn away, we learned, from vile things, vulgar things. We learned that your pastor doesn't have the best TV life last week, and he likes shows where people get killed and stabbed and things like that, and he's working on it. So I've been watching more wholesome TV shows like Duck Dynasty. I think I've been binge-watching that, you know? So they shoot and kill things, but it's usually snakes and stuff in the woods instead. And then they're happy, 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 you know, at the end of the show, and they pray at the end, and it's an amazing thing, and I can feel good about it. So we've learned that, you know, we have to guard ourselves against evil behavior and thoughts and things that are coming at us. That's all part of living the blameless life. We looked at Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is edifying to those who hear it. Powerful scripture, and we should all practice it as much as we can, especially when we're driving. We learned that we should embrace honesty, things like, doing the right thing, even when nobody's looking. We help encourage and protect other people in the kingdom of God when we're living a blameless life. So all of this led up to the finale, where we talked about 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, and that's where I want to pick it up today. It says this, therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. See, ladies, you're included in this one, says the Lord Almighty. Powerful piece of scripture here. And I'm looking at the challenge of living a blameless life, and I wanted to hit on David today. I wanted to talk about King David. He's used a lot as an example in teachings because his life was a very teachable moment. You know, he did a lot of things right and he did a lot of things wrong, but I really believe that he ties into this blameless life thing because he was a man after God's own heart, is what the Bible says about him. So what does that mean? What makes you a man or a woman after God's own heart? Because that's the call, that's the directive, is that we would be running after God with all of our heart, with all that we have within us. And as I'm looking at David's life, I really think that he had the key to what this was. And that's what I want to share with you today. You guys ready? You ready to go on a little journey in Psalms 25? Turn with me to Psalms 25. We are going to hang out there today because I believe that David's life is going to show us something. Okay? I believe that he is not a perfect person. Okay? Are you a perfect person? Because I'm not a perfect person. Neither was he. But how do we live a blameless life if we're not a perfect person? You know, David wasn't without sin. I'm not without sin, and you're not without sin. So how do we live a blameless life if we're going to live a life without sin? Or with sin? That we can't live our life without it. Then I looked at David's life, and I looked at him really sincerely, and I felt like he was not a proud man. He wasn't like proud in the way that we think, well, pride comes before a fall. He was actually very humble, and I think we need to have that aspect in our life. And then, you know, the biggest thing is I look at in his life is that he was a beneficiary of tremendous mercy from God. And we're going to look at that. So everybody with us in Psalms 25, you guys ready to go for a ride? You guys all turn there? You got your Bibles? If not, everybody say thank you, Richard, for putting it on the screen for you this week. He typed it up nice and neat and comfy. It's for you. So four times in the 22 verses, David acknowledges his sin. First and foremost, person who's walking a blameless life has to understand the issue of sin in our lives, and we have to understand how to acknowledge it before God. And I look at it, and it says this in Psalms 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Now, some of you guys are still beating yourself up for some of the stuff you did when you were younger, when you were a kid, you made some mistakes. You know, I partied like a rock star when I was a kid. And it was not the best life to live. There were a lot of consequences. I paid a lot of prices. I hurt a lot of people. I created a lot of carnage in people's lives because of the life that I chose to live when I was younger. But here we see in this psalm that David is acknowledging that as a young person, he was crazy and wild. And he said, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Then we look at the next verse in 8, and it says, good and upright is the Lord. He instructs sinners in the way. So David is acknowledging the fact that he's a sinner, and we all should acknowledge that fact because we all are. And then if you bump up to Psalm 25:11, it says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. You know, there's this thing out there, it's called guilt. Anybody know what it is? Anybody ever been given the guilt trip? Usually by your wife or your husband. But sometimes your mom, right, your dad, they put the guilt trip on you. You know, I love that David knew how to deal with the issue of guilt. He saw something before it existed in Scripture that God was going to do something about guilt. And we're gonna talk about that today. But it says, he said, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Okay, we cannot, as New Testament believers, run around living our lives under guilt and condemnation. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, how much more will the blood of Jesus purge your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living God? Guess what? I have some dead works in my life. Made some bad choices, hurt some people, did some things all the way along the way. David was just like that. But I'm doing my best to try to live a blameless life. Well, what do I have to do then? I have to learn to acknowledge those things and then actually apply them to the process of what God has set in place for us to use as a tool to remove and pardon the guilt from our life. And that's the blood of Jesus. It says, consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. So David was looking ahead. He was like, God, I know you want to pardon me. I know you want to try to get this sin issue dealt with in my life. But he's Old Testament. The cross hadn't happened yet. So he's having to try to process this stuff way below the standard for which you have the ability to process guilt and condemnation and sin and all those issues in your life, because we are living post-cross. Jesus has already died. See, David didn't have that option. He had to look ahead. He had to have such an amazing relationship with God that he could see it ahead of time, that God was going to do something, and he's sitting there saying, God, help me to find myself in you the way that I know you really intend for us to be able to live our lives. And that's really post-cross. He was looking for something. You see, the Old Testament always points to Jesus. It always points to the solution that God was going to bring. So we have to live our lives in that same attitude that David did. You know, his sins were a constant reality to him. We all know that our sins are an issue. We do. But here's what he did, and this is what I love. This is why he was a man after God's own heart. Are you ready? See, first was he knew about mercy. Okay? He said in Psalms 25, it's all right here in this one psalm, 25:6, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. So he's basically saying, I'm going to mess up. I know I am. I have sin in my life. But Lord, remember when you look at me, your love for me, not your judgment for me. Look at your love for me, your steadfast love. He's taking him to the Lord somewhere else. He's like, it's got to be steadfast too, okay? Like every second. I want you to remember your love for me, God, not my shortcomings. And then, he says, according to your steadfast love, remember me for your sake, for the sake of your goodness. He's like, I know you're good, God. Because you're good, I want you to remember your love for me even when I'm blowing it. And that's what a blameless life looks like. You see, when you're living your life blameless before God, you are saying, God, I am choosing to ignore the whole idea that my sin has any power over me anymore, because the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for me washed me clean, purged my conscience, set me free, healed my body, healed my mind, took away my fear, took away my depression, all of that stuff, took it all away. So, Lord, why would I choose to look at my sin when I can just look at you? When I can just look at all that you've done for me? You know, I wake up some days and I have pain in my body. And I have to look at that pain and go, the blood of Jesus is bigger than you. I'm sorry, pain, as much as you want me to focus on you today, all you're going to do is point me to Jesus. You're going to make me love him more. You're going to make me seek him more. You're going to make me come after him more. You're going to make me desire him more and more. Whatever it is the enemy's trying to bring against you, whatever that dark cloud is, the darker it gets, the more you're going to run to the light. That's the attitude of a person who is living a blameless life before God. It's like, I'm going to take everything the enemy's throwing at me and I'm going to use it as a catalyst to worship God even more in my life. That's the attitude that David had. Because all the paths in Psalms 25:10, look at it right there. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths. There's not a path that God has towards you in your life that has anything but mercy and truth in it. Well, God's mad at me. I blew it. No. All that was put on Jesus. When God sees Jesus, when he looks at you, he's not seeing anything but mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord. 25:16. Look at this. So turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, God. He's like, don't hide your face from me. I know I've messed up. And you know I've messed up. But let's look each other in the eye and just own this whole thing and let you cleanse me and let you make me who you've called me to be in my life. Instead of me allowing that stuff to separate me from you, let it throw me even closer to you and throw me into your lap, because I don't have any other choice but to run into your lap to get free from this stuff. Any other directive is going to lead me to destruction in my life. Because the enemy's trying to use everything he can against you to separate you from God. He'll keep you busy doing things. He'll keep you sick and tired and exhausted. I mean, he's made me a workaholic in my life at certain points, just to keep me from doing things for God and with God and being with God. You know, distractions are simply the enemy trying to keep you from knowing everything that God has for you in your life. Amen? But David knew that if his guilt was to be pardoned, it wouldn't be based on his own virtue. It wouldn't be based on his own strength. And if you're going to live a blameless life before God, you have to understand this one key point, is there is nothing you can do within your own strength to make yourself righteous enough or holy enough or good enough to be in a relationship with a holy God. And David knew this. That's why he was considered a man after God's own heart. But it's got to be built on not your own virtue, but on the basis of God's allegiance to his own name. His name, look at this. David saw something. It's not something. David saw someone before they were ever on the scene. Look at Psalms 25:11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. For your name's sake. We learn later that name was Jesus. See, David saw Jesus before Jesus was ever on the scene. Jesus didn't have a name in the Old Testament yet. Jesus' name came when the angel went to Mary and said, his name will be called Jesus. But before that, David already saw that God wanted us forgiven, that God wanted us cleansed. He wanted us fixed. He wanted us made right. And even though he knew he couldn't live his life the way that he wanted to and completely and perfectly before God, he saw Jesus before Jesus even had a name. So what is our response to God when it comes to sin? Got to do the same thing that David did. We got to trust. We got to trust that God's making up the difference. Look in Psalms 25:2. This psalm is so powerful. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. I trust you. Do you trust God today? Do you really trust him with your life, or are you trying to do it in your own strength? Because I can tell you right now, I try to do it in my own strength, and then I catch myself. I'm like, ah, all right, God, I'm coming back. All right, I'm trusting you again. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's like, oh, there he goes again. Look at him. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's running. And God's so funny. He just sits back and he goes, yeah, all right. Here he goes. How long is this one going to take? Oh, there he is. Okay. All right. He's crying out to me again. Yeah, I knew that would happen. But we got to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. I say that scripture so much, but I love it. The next characteristic that I saw in David and his responses to God is that he was a waiter. Any of you guys a waiter or a waitress? No, I'm kidding. It was different. He would wait on the Lord. How many times are you running out there trying to do everything yourself, man? You get ahead of God and God's like, whoa, pulls the reins. It's like, slow down, kid. Does that to me constantly. Because I like to run. I just get out there, man. I'm ready to go. I get it going. But, you know, in Psalms 25:5, it says, for you I wait all day long. When's the last time you said, Lord, I'm not doing anything until you tell me to do it, and you were willing to wait all day? I'm coming for your patience right now. Because you guys are like, what? You know, because we're the instant generation now. We're like, I want it. Got that foot tapping. Then can't hear it as good, ready? Hurry up, Lord, hurry up. I need this now. I want your response. I want you to tell me everything, and I want to know it now. It's that whole Veruca Salt syndrome. You remember her from Willy Wonka? Don't care how, I want it now. I want the world. I want the whole world, right? It's called selfishness, okay? I have it. But waiting on the Lord is a powerful tool of a person who's living and walking a blameless life. Next one is humility. You know, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. Psalm 25:9. I would recommend you guys go and read this psalm. This week, spend a little time in it. There's a lot in here. It's really good. But he leads the humble. Nothing like you can't, some dramatic effect you just can't pay for. It's good stuff. I welcome it. So, what about this one? Covenant keeping. You see, David knew about covenant. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant. You see, David knew he was under this covenant. He knew he had a relationship with God, and he was Old Testament, and he knew something new was coming. But you see, the covenant that we need to keep is no longer the law. Okay? You know, David was under the law. It's like, you do this, and if you don't, that we stone you to death. Or we, you know, a lot of capital punishment back then. You know, it was tough living back then. We're just easy going nowadays. You sit in prison for 30 years, you know, before they kill you. That's bad, but it's true. We need a little stricter capital punishment. But keeping his covenant from the Old Testament was impossible. Do you realize why the Ten Commandments was given to you? Was it so that you could keep them all? Don't covet. Don't kill. You know, that's all great and everything, but you know it's impossible, right? You can't keep the new. You can't keep it. You can't keep the law. You'll never be able to fulfill your own righteousness by keeping the law that was given. The law was given so you would see that you could no longer get yourself there. You could no longer fix your own self, but you needed a Savior. You see, the Ten Commandments were given so that we would recognize our need for a Savior, a new covenant. So those who keep the old covenant, man, you're going to die according to the law. You got to switch over. We are post-cross. We have to live our lives under the new covenant, which is a covenant of grace by faith in him. We have been restored. The blood of Jesus has washed us and cleansed us and set us free. If we're going to live a blameless life, then we have to know how to live under the new covenant, not under the old covenant. You know, if you're going to go out and preach in the streets, don't go out and preach the law like, you know, turn or burn, you know, get right or get left. It's old covenant. It's old covenant. We got to preach grace. We got to preach the cleansing power of the blood of his son, of Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. So, all right, we got to wrap this up. All right, I'm going to go fast. Three different characteristics that I believe as a blameless liver, a blameless life walker will gain from the Lord. This is what God is looking to do through somebody who is trying to walk a blameless life. And no, I'm preaching grace. I'm not telling you there's rules you got to follow, but when you try to do your best and let Jesus do the rest, this is what I believe happens. You see, the first thing is the blameless believer gains the favor of God. You will gain God's favor in your life. Proverbs 3, 1 and 4 says this, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you." There's the cross. "Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God." You see, when you try to do your best and let Jesus do the rest, the favor of God comes on your life. That's powerful. There's nothing more powerful than being able to go before God in your prayer life or just in relationship with him and go, "I'm doing my best. Thank you for doing the rest. Jesus, I'm so happy that my life is pleasing to you. My life is pleasing to you."
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Once again, I hope you enjoyed the program today. Thanks again to our sponsors, and we hope that each and every one of you are blessed in Jesus' name. If you need more information about the church, you can go to ourlighthouse.net or give the office a call at 321-452-1012. God bless you guys.